found the killer bees. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRMP guest line, being joined by the TV voice of the Houston Astros, Todd Callis, making his first of what will be many weekly visits with us. Todd, thanks so much. Excited for the new season. How did you spend the offseason? Get any rest and relaxation?
Yeah, some R&R. We did some travel before the new year, not as much once 2024 hit, but ready to go. It's exciting to be here on the eve of opening day, and I was just at a Memorial Park golf course today, and they're about to kick off their tournament, the Texas Children's Houston Open. So, yeah, a lot going on in H-Town this weekend.
TK, I'm curious, right off the jump, we know that Verlander's going to miss some time. We obviously are watching the starting rotation very, very closely. A guy like Blanco comes in. He has an unbelievable spring. They've already penciled him in as being in the rotation to start the season. Is this the year? Is this the guy? Can he completely find it all and put it together and be a guy like a JP France from a year ago?
He looks the part, and his numbers were not, you know, just spring training numbers against B-level players. He was pitching against some eighth lineups when he went 15-plus without allowing a run. Finally gave up a run last night to the first batter he faced, Quincy Hamilton, in the Sugar Land Astros game. But, yeah, he's 30 years old. He's not fully stretched out, so I'm not anticipating a guy that's going to eat up innings. He's not going to be, you know, in the 160 to 170 innings mark. But he's a guy that if Dana Brown transitioned him from a reliever to a starter last year, if he can give you, you know, 130 to 150 solid innings, they'll take that. And his stuff has been playing. Between him and JP France, one of those guys may eventually lose their spot in the rotation just because Verlander's coming back, as Keady's coming back, and then the second half, you're going to have McCullers and Luis Garcia as well. So it'll be interesting. The pitching rotation at the beginning of the year is thin. There's no way around that with the injuries and with, you know, some guys that are still being stretched out. JP France hasn't been fully stretched out yet. So it's a little thin early, but if they can survive this little gauntlet early of 20 games in 21 days, featuring a lot of good competition, they'll be really set up well for the rest of the year.
The rotation, but the healthy guys and the injured guys would be a pretty good seven-game series. The four you have healthy with Framber, Javier, France, and you know, Blanco, and then Hunter Brown, of course, and then the injured guys with Verlander, or Keady, Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers. You mentioned the stretch to start the year in the first 3 weeks where you're playing 20 games in 21 days. I saw some quotes from Espada, the most interesting manager in the world, where he said that it's probably unlikely they go to a six-man rotation without Justin Verlander. So this little stretch, is it just hang on for dear life, try to patch these innings together however you can, waiting for that help to finally get there?
Yeah, I'd say that's probably a good assessment of things. I know for sure Joe said to the media yesterday that they're going to go through the first homestand without a six-man rotation. He didn't commit to what's going to happen beyond that. So seven games, you're going to see Framber Valdez go on 4 days rest. You're going to see Christian Javier go on 4 days rest. And after the off day going into the Texas-Kansas City road trip, we'll see how they play it. At that point, they may elect to stay with a five-man. They may elect to go with a six-man. Doesn't sound like they're going to have Justin Verlander go with a full, you know, four or five start rehab assignment like as if he was going through spring training. So they may have Verlander come back, even if he's only stretched out to 50 or 60 pitches. It'll be interesting to see how it works. But you're right. Early on, they're going to go with a five-man, but I don't think that's going to last forever. I think you'll eventually see six guys in their rotation when JV comes back.
TK, you look at what everybody's pointing at now, which is just the middle of that bullpen, because we know that the 7, 8, and 9 is all wrapped up. How important is Montero finding somewhat, even if it's a happy medium, between 2 years ago and then the second half of last season, because of him being that one veteran guy that you know they can count on if you need a guy earlier than the seventh inning?
Yeah, he's critical. Huge. You're right. I mean, you feel good about 7, 8, 9, even though Abreu didn't have his best spring. He's a guy that just dominated the league last year. You really don't have too many concerns with him. You'd like to see him have a couple of back-to-back good outings, but we're ready to go now. So hopefully he's ready when the bell rings. Presley and Hader, as good an 8-9 combination as you're going to find in the game. And then you've got Montero. And, yes, last year was a struggle. And this year was up and down in spring training. Somewhere in there was a guy that pitched in 2022 and got that three-year deal because of how well he pitched 2 years ago. He needs to be, if not as good as that year, like you said, somewhere in between. Because, frankly, the other four guys, other than those four, Montero and the back three, are really guys that in the past might not have made the roster on opening day, and they're all on this year's opening day roster. So they haven't named who that roster is. We have a pretty good idea Belak's going to be out on that roster. We think Seth Martinez will probably be on that roster. We'll see what happens with the other two spots. But, you know, those are – Belak and Martinez are guys that were fighting for spots on the pitching staff in the past, and now they're definitely in, and there's two more spots behind them. So, yes, so a long-winded answer to your question, Montero is going to be critical because of the unproven nature of some of the other guys that are making the team.
Todd Kalas, voice of the Houston Astros, joining us on the HRNP guest line. Todd, I want to go all the way back to the beginning of the offseason, if you will allow me, when the Astros hired Joe Espada. And universally, it was a move that was given a lot of credit. The Astros getting, you know, Espada, giving him the promotion, have been the right-hand man for Dusty Baker for so long. What makes Espada the right man for this job?
He's been in the trenches, and he knows the guys really well. And he's been here through two different managers, A.J. Hinch and Dusty Baker, two different styles. The guys trust him. They know him. They communicate well with him. They know no matter what happens, he's going to shoot it straight for them. And that goes a long way. I mean, last night and today, I'm sure there were some difficult conversations with Joe. Having to call guys in and say, hey, you didn't make it. We appreciate how hard you worked. We'll see you at some point during the regular season. But the guys, it's basically been the whole time AJ was here and Dusty Baker was here and Joe was the bench coach, he has been that guy that was the conduit. So he was talking to the players. He was, you know, the manager delegates a lot at the top, and Joe was always that guy who was involved with the players and been in the trenches with them. So it was a seamless transition, about as seamless a transition as you could have, just based on Joe knowing these guys as a veteran group that has been around Joe for half a dozen years.
TK, I want to look at center field a little bit too, because you've had the eye test up close and personal. You've seen this spring's version of Jake Meyers, which seems more like the Jake Meyers when he came up, when he showed he had some pop, when he showed that he could be the center fielder of the future, and now they're relying on him to do just that. Your feelings on what you've seen so far of Jake, and the fact that your confidence level on him being the everyday center fielder going into the season?
Yeah, more confident now than I was not seeing him before spring training, because he did come in with a different attitude. He was hitting the ball on the screws for the first 2 or 3 weeks. You know, everybody, it's hard to maintain that for 4 or 5 weeks of spring training games, but he was really good for the first 2 or 3 weeks. Hit a little bit of bad luck in the second half of spring training. Didn't hit the ball quite as hard overall, but he looked ready to go. And, you know, we all know Jake can go get the ball, but his bat looked really good. If he's your number nine hitter in your lineup, you're in a pretty good spot. And whoever that is, whether it's Pena 8, Meyers 9, or vice versa, you're going to be in a pretty good spot leading into the Altuve, Alvarez, Tucker, Bregman quartet. I really, really like this lineup this year. I think this is going to be a team, even though last year they were third in the American League of runs scored, I think this is a team that's going to be much better offensively than they were last year. And, I think part of that is Bregman. He'll probably be better than he was last year. Abreu coming off last year will probably be better. Pena will probably have room to grow this year. And then you add Yan or Diaz to your lineup. So, yeah, I'm excited about the lineup. And I think Jake Meyers being a part of that in the number nine spot could bode well. And he's got pressure, too. I mean, even though they've handed him the starting job in center field, let's not be fooled that if Jake doesn't get out of the gates in April and May and perform well, it's not like they're going to sit there and say, this is your job up until the All-Star break. There's a lot of good candidates sitting there behind Jake. And if one of them is hot at AAA and Jake's struggling at the big league level, you could see Jake lose some playing time. But for now, I'm glad he's the everyday center fielder. I think he's ready to run with it. And I haven't seen any better version of Jake Meyers than I did in 24 spring training.
Todd, we always appreciate the time. Best of luck with the call tomorrow, opening day. I know you're excited for the year, and you're going to have a little bit more homework because Brian McTaggart's just reported the Astros claimed Penn Murphy off of waivers. So maybe he's one of those two unknown names that maybe you already knew in the bullpen for the Astros. Todd, appreciate the time. We'll chat again next week.
All right, guys. Always good talking to you. Talk to you next week.
Todd Kallas joining us on the HRMP guest line. Yeah, Brian McTaggart just claimed that the Strohs, or just tweeted that the Strohs claim Penn Murphy off of waivers from the Braves. Has never pitched with the Braves other than spring training. His numbers are pretty good. Mm-hmm. He's only pitched in the last 2 years, 2022, 2023. He made 80 appearances with Seattle, and in those 80 appearances, he had a 2.70 ERA. It's weird that this guy is on waivers. He was with the Braves, didn't make their club, and they're really good. Maybe that's why. But surprised that an arm this caliber was on waivers, and he lasted to the Astros. This is at least on paper, without knowing too much about, you know, post 2023, seems like a pretty good move for the Astros.
I love it, looking at the numbers, and then Greg Rajan throws out that his claim to fame was he gave up the 18th inning home run in Game 3 of the 2022 ALDS in Seattle to Pena.
So he's been an Astro winner from way back then. He's been helping out the
Astros.
Should
be a fan favorite from the jump.
Yeah, so the Braves claimed Murphy off waivers from the Mets on November 14th. So this guy's been around. His numbers are far better than the respect he's been given by Major League Baseball. He was on waivers claimed by the Braves, on waivers claimed by the Astros. Interesting, to say the least. But Penn Murphy has been claimed by the Houston Astros. All right, 713-780-3776. It's time for three more fights in the Killer Bee Fight Club bracket. Who won yesterday? What are the fights today? And we'll make arguments for everybody. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, we know that, hey, we're a day away from opening day. We're a day away from more NCAA basketball. We've got NBA basketball on the docket just about every single night. And then on the weekends, we've got golf, UFC, and so much more. There's only one place that I always encourage you to go to if you're going to put some action down on any of these games. It's MyBookie.ag. MyBookie.ag is a one-stop shop for all your sports betting and your casino needs, complete with a real-life Vegas experience right from the comfort of your own home and your own phone. Simply put, live dealers standing by if you want to get into casino games. But now you can take your viewing experience to the next level with real-time live betting that lets you stream and bet the games right from the MyBookie.ag website. Sign up now. Take advantage of a generous welcome bonus on your first deposit, all the way up to $1,000. If you put $200 in, get $300 ready to play instantly using our promo code BET975. If you listen to us and bet with them, it pays off when you use the code BET975. And the fun doesn't stop there. You'll get up-to-the-minute odds, props, and this week's expert predictions that all can help you decide who to put your money on. And, of course, those dealers are standing by if you want to play casino games in between games or at off times when there aren't any games to be played. Best part about MyBookie, you can bet on anything, anytime, from anywhere. Just use our promo code BET975 and secure your welcome bonus today only with MyBookie.